Beloved friends, greetings in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, with a warm welcome to you as you listen to the broadcast today. The present theme of our meditation has been, and still is to be, the glory of the cross. This is based upon the precious words of the Apostle Paul, written in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. The special aspect of divine blessing which we are now considering and which we will complete today is the blessing of salvation. This is accomplished only by and through the work of our Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross. Now, salvation in the meaning of Scripture implies we shall be saved from every peril which faces the sinner, who needs to be rescued from the dangers which our sins have brought to us. In the preceding message of yesterday, we learned that blessed fact that Christ, by his death upon the cross, tasted the complete judgment for us. He tasted or he experienced death for every man, Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9. Physical, spiritual, and the eternal character of death's penalty, when upon the cross of Calvary, Christ himself completely suffered, paying for us the wages of sin which we fully deserved, in order that through faith in his blessed work we might be saved. Now, what does salvation include? As God teaches it in his word, and that for a world of sinners, let me give a brief definition. A brief definition to which I pray you will carefully listen. Salvation is a work that is done entirely by God, whereby God bestows upon every believing sinner who will accept Christ as his redemptive work eternal life he gives to that sinner now, with the blessed assurance he will bring that believing sinner into eternal glory. Please note, the work is done by God on the behalf of the sinner. 'Tis not a work that is to be done by the sinner for God. Did not the beloved Apostle Paul write, "He that hath begun a good work in you will perform or finish it until the day of Jesus Christ," Philippians 1:6. God does it from beginning to the end, from the start to the finish. Now let me present to your heart the threefold aspect of God's great salvation. First, the death of Christ upon the cross can save us and does save us from the penalty of our sins. Now let us remember what the eternal penalty for our sins will be. It is to be banished eternally and separated from God forever in that doomed place which he has prepared for the devil and his angels. But please let me read the result of the judgment when all who are unsaved stand before God and the sentence is given, as it is written in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 15. "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death." In Revelation 21 and verse 8, there is a description of all different kinds of sinners recorded, and amongst them are those who are the unbelieving. But God says concerning them, "They shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Whatever all this may actually be beyond our comprehension, we can know it is the eternal abode of all lost sinners. But instead of eternal death, instead of eternal separation from God, Christ offers you and me eternal life through the atoning death of the cross. He saves us from the penalty of our sins when we believe upon him. Please listen to one verse from his own blessed lips, John chapter 5 and verse 24. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, shall not come into judgment or condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. What an assurance! My friend, has Christ saved you? Has he saved you from the penalty of your sins? He alone can, and he alone will. If you as a guilty, repentant sinner confess, you place your faith in the blood of his cross and trust his atoning work to cover your sins. Yet also, the blessed Lord saves the one who believes upon him not only from the penalty of sin, but keeps them saved from the power of sin. Please let me read a verse in Romans 5:10. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. There is something more than being saved by his death, for when we are thus saved, we shall also, writes Paul, be saved by his life. Now let's be careful. The beloved apostle does not refer to the life of the Lord Jesus when he lived upon the earth before the cross. He is referring to his present life in heaven above, after the cross. For he lives, he rose again, and by his present life at the right hand of God in heaven, Christ enables the believer, the one who trusts him as his and her Savior, to overcome the power of indwelling sin while in the body. Please let me point out to you how he does it, what he is doing on the behalf of those who trust him. In Hebrews 7:25, we read that he's able to save them to the uttermost, right to the very end. They come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. What a Savior! Oh, the joy of knowing he keeps us to the end. In heaven above he pleads as the great intercessor. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verses 15, we read that he is the high priest of his people, and that he's touched with the feelings of our infirmities or weaknesses. For he was tested in all points like as we are, yet without sin. And we're encouraged to come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And thus we call upon him for help. He gives that help to us as we call. I think of a dear old man, ridiculed by his companions because of his Christian testimony. One day, one companion said, "Uncle, what can you do with the devil when he comes round to tempt you? You are no match for him." But that dear old Christian said, "When the devil bothers me, I praise to the Lord. I say, Lord, help. The devil and tampering with your property." That's good theology. And in First John 2:1-2, we have a God that says to his redeemed children, "My little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, if any believer sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins." That blessed Savior maintains the eternal relationship of his children to their Father in heaven above, though Satan may accuse. His precious blood meets the need of even a sinning believer to bring that believer to confess that sin and be restored not to salvation, but to fellowship again with the Father above. Certainly the once crucified but now risen Savior will save us from the power of sin while we're here in the body. But last of all, will he save us from the presence of sin? Praise God, he will. Let me read to you Philippians 3:20-21. Our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our body of humiliation, that it may be fashioned like unto his own glorious body. He's coming again, and at his coming he will change the bodies of the believers, whether in the grave or whether living when he comes. But he will make that body a new one, like unto his own glorious body, sinless and holy and pure. Let me read another verse in Romans 8 and verse 23, where Paul declares that even we ourselves, we believers, know how it is to groan within ourselves. We have our troubles. We have our pains. We're waiting for the adoption, Paul says. And that is the redemption of our body. My beloved, listen. Not only salvation for the soul, but there is salvation waiting for the body when Jesus changes it at his coming. Beloved, my beloved friend, you and I may be able to sing right now, "It is well with my soul," but perhaps not always to sing with my body. My beloved friend, do you realize that God's great salvation includes this glorious fact, that when Jesus comes again, he will give his children a new body, and that new body will be like unto his own glorious body, sinless, sickless, painless, deathless, eternal? For the former things will pass away, but the saved believer will live on forever with Christ and like Christ. My beloved, what a salvation this is. Let me repeat it. A salvation from sin's penalty. A salvation from sin's power. A salvation from sin's present. All based upon the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me give a word of warning in closing. We quote the words of Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Oh, my beloved, through the work of his cross, there is a salvation that is so great, but it is also one that can be neglected so easy. And yet there's no escape from the eternal judgment if we die in our sins. Escape is impossible. Beloved, take home to your heart, God's salvation saves from the penalty of sin, saves from the power of sin, and ultimately saves from the very presence of sin. My beloved, there is a desire in my heart that grows deeper every day, and that is to be taken out of this world of sin into the glorious place of glory above in heaven itself, where no sin can ever enter. And the Lord Jesus paid for it on the cross. Bless thy word. Blessed Lord, we ask in thy name for thy glory. Amen.